Gentle praise spoken in a soft voice can also serve as positive reinforcement for your kid. I think you're pretty.
That sounds crazy.
It's my soft voice and with praise.
But it sounds like Buffalo Bill.
Like, you're a soft kitty.
If I were a cat, I'd be like, oh, hell no, I'm about to get skinned. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name's Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So I don't even know how to introduce this gem that Katie is sharing with us.
Yeah.
It's a piece of Kazmir histoire.
Oh, we're doing this?
Yeah, I guess
okay.
so.
All right.
Crack into it.
We'll do this in parts.
That introduction wasn't clear enough. You're like, oh, me? Did you say Kazmir?
Kazmir. Yeah. It's like, it sounds like my name.
Yeah. They're talking to me.
So when I was young, I did a little writing. I was learning words, putting them together.
Okay, as one does. Yes. Learning our craft.
Yes, and there was a contest at school. And we all had to submit our creative writing essay.
Okay.
And then vote on them.
Oh, wow. So the class was voting on it?
Yeah, the class was voting. And we all had aliases.
Okay.
That the teacher assigned. Because you didn't want to vote based on who the person was.
And I would have come up with an alias that was clearly me. And I'm sure you would have, too.
Right. But she gave us numbers.
Okay.
And my number she assigned me was 6-9.
Wow. Of course. I was going to say it was a 69.
I was like, yeah.
Hey, man.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. Did you shout up? You're like, this is number 69. Woo. And it's Katie Kazmir, as you can see.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
This was the winning essay.
Okay.
So I kept it all these years, and I found it just recently, and I almost fell over.
I'm afraid. I recently found some old notebooks, too, and I was like, should I just burn these immediately?
Yeah.
Should I look at them and then burn them?
Yeah, I really should probably burn this, but I thought it was only fair after the stuff that we pull off the internet and read and snicker at. Ha, ha, isn't this funny? Well, guess what? I could put my money where my mouth is.
Oh, I like this style. See, now I feel like I have to reciprocate.
Okay.
Yeah, we're sharing a bit of our sordid past.
Yeah. So, hey, we know how to make fun of ourselves.
Yeah, we
as
sure
well
do.
As everybody else.
Yes.
So this is called In the Still of the Night.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Right, here we go.
End scene.
All right, this is just part one. We're going to do this in parts because I don't know if I can get through it. So many words.
This is going to be an editor's nightmare.
Yeah. Man, this is my war story because, you know, write what you know.
Yes.
When you're a little girl.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I can't wait.
He savored the head rush of the last drag of a cigarette.
Were you smoking at this point?
No, oh, wait. He savored the head rush the last drag of a cigarette gave him, then watched absentmindedly as the burning embers were crushed out in the frozen clots of dirt.
Wow.
Nice.
Okay. You're like, so far, so good.
O'Connor sat up with sudden awareness that he knew would be fatal if not maintained.
By the way, people, I just want to say this is typed. She's reading this. She typed on a typewriter.
Yeah, it was a typewriter.
Yeah,
it was the kind that had the...
The ribbon?
The ribbon that if you went backwards, you can, like, white out with the...
Oh, yeah, ribbon. I remember those. Hold up a little piece of paper, white it out.
His revived watchful eyes scanned...
Word? You know what? It's not sparse prose.
Okay.
You know?
His revived watchful eyes scanned the troops surrounding him. Who was he fooling? They were kids.
Wow. So not only is your main character in the army, but he's like far. He's not like, he didn't just get there.
Yeah.
O'Connor's been in there for a while. He's seen things, O'Connor.
They were kids. No exaggeration there. There are only about 20 of them at that. What?
Huh? Okay.
There they sat looking like frightened children with toy guns. But the guns were as real as the impending doom that spread.
Really? Impending doom? I love it.
Wait. It spread viscously around them.
Wow. That's some doom. Viscous, huh? Okay. You have like a gel doom.
Yeah. They had been engaged in trench warfare for the past 8 weeks.
Okay. What brought this on? What, were you reading something?
I don't know.
Write what you know.
Write what I know.
You know what? You know the trenches.
These trenches were built a few hundred yards and across and about 5 feet deep.
Wow. Some big ass trenches. This is like it was a ravine. Well, they had been there for weeks. They probably started out as just small trenches. They're like, you know, we can improve this.
It's like Donald Trump is like, keep digging.
Yes, keep going.
At intervals, soldiers were stationed, then separated with thicknesses of sandbags.
Mm-hmm. Thicknesses. I like it.
These were to discourage the enemy from a sneak attack and opening mainstream fire down the length.
I'm just imagining if the enemy did get in and trip and fell into these enormous ravines, that would be the end of it.
Trenches, because it was trench warfare.
Oh, sorry. It's but you said they were hundreds of yards.
I know.
That's why I'm saying it's ravine.
I know.
It's massive. You've built, like, the English Channel. Several of them. Oh, my God. This is fantastic.
In the approaching darkness, one of the men, Jackson, crawled across the trench floor heading for his knapsack. I'd like to say it was Agent Jackson from Operation
Special Kimberly. Agent Jackson.
With a groan, he slipped and
he doesn't make it.
He slipped and fell into the pit the men had dug to sleep in.
What? So, is this a second pit within the trench?
I guess so, yeah.
This is like an annex?
Yes. Oh, yes, it is.
Okay.
For a special reason, which I'm going to...
Okay, which we're going to get
which
to.
Which is going to...
Stay with us, people.
These pits were necessary for survival during the night, for there was an alarming problem with the infestation of rats.
Of course.
The abundance of dead bodies drew them like magnets to the trenches,
mm-hmm.
and during the hustle of activity, they hid between the sandbags. When darkness approached, they were ready to pounce.
Okay. So it's not... Does the other side come into play here, or are we mostly just dealing with rats?
We're still with rats
okay.
in this trench, and that's
right.
it. The men would lie in the pits, cover themselves with dirt, and pray the flesh would not be gnawed away during the night.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a very ingenious way of... I wouldn't have thought of that. You know?
There were already a few of them tormented with gangrene from a careless foot or arm left sticking out of the dirt.
Wow. This is why trench warfare is so dangerous.
Yeah.
If you don't cover your entire body with dirt.
Yeah.
Gangrene.
Gangrene.
Boom.
Because the rats would gnaw.
Yeah, of course. Not naturally. Yeah, I got that, but I'm following this.
All right.
You know, you haven't lost me yet.
Okay. These rats were not ordinary rodents. That's all.
Of course. Why would I think they would be? And I'm expecting some adjectives that are going to, you know, I feel like I have to put on a helmet, the kind they would wear in the trenches.
Yeah. They were not ordinary rodents that soldiers like Jackson would see crawling in the tenements of his home back in the city.
Mm-hmm. Jackson again. Let me guess, is Jackson a brother? Yes. I hope so.
They were gargantuan with evil dispositions that craved warm meat. When they crawled over the cold cadavers lying in the field and
so
the rims of the trenches.
Unlike the average rat,
yeah.
these city-like rats, they don't like carrion that's cold.
Right.
They want fresh meat. Yeah.
Okay.
They're picky.
So that's part one.
Wow.
I'll have to treat you to the rest of it.
I love that. And that is a piece of Casimir Histoire.
Yes.
That's amazing. I love every part of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
So I have a little Pliny, respect your elder news. We haven't talked about Pliny in a while. Pliny the Elder was a Roman writer who gave us the history naturalis of the world.
Right.
In the ancient time. So basically this is, it says Nicki Minaj and the ancient art of men having sex with statues.
What?
So apparently.
Wait a minute. He knew all of it. He brought us Nicki Minaj.
There's nothing he doesn't know.
Mm.
So, you know, Nicki Minaj had a statue at Madame Tussauds. I don't know if you saw the picture of it. It's
mm-hmm.
basically, I don't really know that much about Nicki Minaj, but apparently her act is very sexy. Like, that's a part of her thing. And she has a gigantic
She has a big
fake butt.
A rear end.
That she
is
had
it
put
fake?
On. I mean, I don't remember having it at the beginning, the first time I saw her.
Okay.
Or maybe she just worked it.
Is it just you put it on, or is it
No,
injected?
No, I think she's in. I think it's injected.
Oh, it could be like padding. It could be just like...
No, but she doesn't wear anything
over
it. I think we'd know if we saw a seam.
You see, I guess that I'm not really looking closely at Ms. Minaj.
Yeah. You don't know your booties, basically.
Yeah.
So apparently her statue, she's like on all fours.
Okay.
And you know, people are posing with it in all manner of, So it's this men posing with it. It's funny because there's a couple, like, you know, three women. It's like a woman, her daughter, and a friend or something. They're posing with it, like pretending to either grab the ass or take a bite out of crime, if you will. So it says, Madame Tussauds could have avoided catastrophe if only its staff knew their ancient history. The Las Vegas branch of Tussauds Waxworks has had to revise how it displays the statue after visitors took sexually explicit photos of themselves engaging graphically with the figure. They weren't that bad.
They were just basically standing behind
her. But, you know, pretending to, you know, do what one does with a badonkadonk, as it were. It says, this sordid tale of wax and lust recalls the story that Roman writer Pliny the Elder tells us about one of the most famous statues in the ancient world. According to Pliny, men who visited the shrine of Aphrodite of Cnidos on the island of Kos could not contain themselves. It was a nude statue of an incredibly beautiful woman. At first,
and I said, take that down.
Yeah, well, that's what happened.
I don't need you putting my statue up here.
At first, people were like, it's too much. It's too provocative. And so then somebody else was like, we'll take it. Tourists will come. This is in ancient times. Pliny says one man was driven so wild by the statue that he tried to have sex with it. And I quote, a stain bears witness to his lust. That's what Pliny had to say about it. There is not, no matter what it is, I can find Pliny a connection somewhere. So we have connected Nicki Minaj and Pliny with this article.
Pliny is the new Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, it's back to Pliny. A piece of Pliny.
That is some terrific news.
Yeah.
That is really great.
Then they go on to talk about Pygmalion, you know, the myth of Pygmalion and all that, and like, you know, statues throughout history that men have tried to copulate with.
God, is there anything that they won't put their penises in?
But this is the thing, is like, these statues do not have an entry.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way. Yeah. If it were the reverse, I could see if it were like, you know, for example, David.
Right.
Although he is placid.
Right.
One could argue that, you know, a woman might find a way to enjoy the statue, as it were.
Yeah.
But just a statue of Aphrodite? And why leave evidence, gentlemen? Wipe up.
Mark in his territory.
Wipe up after you're done.
No.
So that is their respect.
If you're going to have sex with a statue, you're not going to be like, I need to wipe this.
That's right. You're not afterwards to be like, it gives me a moment.
Yeah.
I'm going to just clean this up and get back to respectability.
Yeah.
So yeah, Pliny the Elder, that's something to say. Watch out for statues.
Interesting.
They should not be too sexy. I saw the Nicki Minaj statue. I mean, I guess it's sexy, but it's more that it's odd because usually the waxwork statues, I mean, you know, they have, like, sexy men, but it's not Johnny Depp on all fours.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not... I mean, who else is, like, someone that's classically, you know, that people think of as a sex symbol in Hollywood? I'm trying to think. Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, there's not a picture of him, once again, on all fours.
You know? If there were.
If there were, women would be posing
with
him.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. And the Nicki Minaj statue.
That's not a bad idea. We should call the museum and get Chris Hemsworth in there.
Oh, we should just start our own and call it On All Fours. And we should have statues of celebrities on all fours. And then people can come and pose with them, and we won't judge.
Right. That's a great idea.
We won't judge.
Copyright.
Yeah. We'll probably get sued by everybody. Like, what do you mean, I'm on fours?
Well, we already copyrighted on this podcast.
That's right. Back of the envelope. Copyright. What do you have?
All right. I have advice on advice.
Oh, advice on advice is a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we try to improve upon it by giving our advice on that advice, hence hashtag advice on advice.
Yes. All right. This is Dear Amy.
Okay.
My husband and I have been married for over 30 years.
Okay. Congratulations, first of all.
Yeah.
That's probably the last positive thing we have to say.
We own a small business together. Several times a week, he drinks at work and comes home feeling highly sexed.
Okay. He's getting prepared at work?
Highly sexed. His drunken state is a huge turnoff. When I turn down
You lost us.
How can this be?
Yeah, can you read that again? I think I misheard what you said.
When I turned down his offer of sloppy drunk sex... Mm-hmm. Who would do something like that?
Yeah, come on. Cut the guy some slack.
All right. When I turn down his offer of sloppy drunk sex, he berates me, calls me names, and retreats to another room where he engages in phone sex with women on sex sites.
Wow. Whoa. I didn't think that's where that was going to go.
Me neither.
Why don't you get on the phone with him? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, okay. If you don't feel like touching, just leave.
Yeah. Okay.
This lasts for hours.
Wow. Who is this guy?
In the morning, he looks quite unattractive to me.
He's probably spent, lady. He's exhausted.
Yeah, he's hungover and in his own world. Yeah. I have told him if he comes home sober, I will be happy to enjoy time, quote unquote, with him.
Uh-huh.
When he comes home...
Time.
Yeah.
Can we have some time?
It's time for...
Time, as it were.
When he comes home from even somewhat... When he comes home even somewhat sober, we enjoy a sex life.
Okay. This woman sounds very uncomfortable with sex. Yeah.
I think he's addicted to these sites. How can I reconcile it in my head?
Okay.
And not think he is gross after his nights of too much booze and porn. Signed, grossed out.
Okay. First of all, you have been married to a man for 30 years. If you don't know that dudes are into porn, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Second of all, I think that there's an economic aspect to this because those phone sex hotlines are expensive.
Yeah.
They're a few dollars a minute. You could be making that few dollars a minute.
Yeah. Why don't you, slip them this new number?
Yeah, this new number. That's.
And you can drain your own bank account.
So, yeah, set up your own.
Yeah.
And just have it funnel right into the joint account.
Right.
That's so the husband's getting drunk at work.
Yeah, that they own.
That they own the place, so it doesn't matter. He's coming home. He's feeling good. He wants to have sex with his wife. Mm-hmm. She's like, no. And he's like, well, I'll go be on the phone for hours.
Yeah. And have sloppy drunk oral sex.
Yeah, I guess. Like, really, oral as in A-U-R-L. And pay for it.
Right.
And then he's exhausted.
Why doesn't... Let's get the advice. If you're... dear grossed out, if your description is accurate, short of you submitting to hypnosis or drunkenness yourself, your husband seems gross because he is gross.
Oh, this is terrible. I thought she was going to say, why don't you have a few drinks?
I know. That's what I'm with.
Meet him at the office.
Yeah.
Head him off at the pass.
Yeah. Right.
As it were.
He has a drinking problem, and the consequences is that you don't want to be with him. I cannot imagine wanting to stay in this marriage, which by your description sounds depleting and very depressing.
Wow.
I hope you will at the very least start attending Al-Anon meetings, where you meet others whose lives are affected by alcohol abuse.
Wait a minute. This woman, it didn't sound to me like she was saying he's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
She's saying that he's getting drunk.
A couple of nights a week.
People do this, by the way.
Yeah.
There are some people who get drunk a couple nights a week and are alcoholics, and there are people who get drunk a couple nights a week and are not alcoholics. Right. I'm thinking maybe this guy doesn't feel comfortable or can't get aroused sober for some reason, or I don't know, maybe there's something else going on. Maybe he just likes to have a couple drinks at work.
Yeah, or maybe the sex is a little boring for him.
Yeah.
Because she's probably not.
She sounds very uptight. What'd she say? We have
our time.
She calls
it time.
And he probably hears that word time and just shrivels up.
Yeah.
It's time for, what was the other thing? We have a sex life.
Yeah.
And she says,
so it's probably the most boring, laborious task. He wants to have sex. But he's like, all right, let me get drunk.
And he needs to hear something, obviously. He's a very aroused by Leo, listening and talking to people. Yeah. Maybe she's not willing to do that.
Yeah. She's got to learn how to talk dirty a little.
Yeah, try it out.
So first of all, we have several bits of advice for this woman. All right, first of all, get to the office first and start drinking.
Yeah.
See what kind of bar he's got going on.
Get the party going.
Yeah.
You know, surprise him at work.
You be drunk first.
Yeah.
And see what happens.
See what happens.
All right. And second is, learn how to talk dirty.
Yeah.
Just
if that's what he's into, maybe he's coming home and he wants to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
You're turning him down, so then he's going to what else he can get. It would be different if he came home and was like, out the way, bitch, and then went straight to the phone. But that's not what's happening. Right. He desires his wife.
Yeah.
And he's getting turned down 3 nights a week.
She should get some books or some films.
Yeah. Some films about time.
About time.
Concerning time.
Right. Step-by-step instruction, and
surprise him.
Yeah.
Because if he's on the phone for hours, if he were with you, it probably wouldn't be hours. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, right, he's trying to get, you know, himself going, and it's taking a long time. Yeah.
And he's probably talking about you.
He might be talking about you. Or he just might be, you know, falling asleep in there, and then the phone's on for the next couple of hours. And then there goes the money.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if he's an alcoholic, though. I mean, that's different.
Yeah, she should get some scripts.
Yeah. Yes.
Some dramatic readings.
Some dramatic readings,
sex,
yeah.
And then just practice.
Try
them.
It out.
Got it. You know, every day you have to do something a little bit sexy.
Yeah.
So that when it comes time to do something sexy,
you'll be ready.
You're ready.
Well, what about also, too, like, go while he's on the phone in there, go on in.
Yeah.
Get into it. Right. Get involved.
Yeah.
You know?
Or, yeah, if you want to, why don't you get, like, little plastic phones that aren't real, right?
Yeah.
And then sit side by side, but with a divider between you.
And then play with that.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's so bizarre.
Plastic phones.
Whatever. You know, we're just saying.
Get two bananas and talking to them.
Two bananas. How about two cups and a string and go in the other room? We're just saying be creative. Yeah. Try that first. But if you approach this guy like, you know, you're an alcoholic, like, that's not going to help.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a different issue.
Yeah.
People get drunk. Yeah. Like, during the week.
Yeah, especially after 30 years of marriage. Sure.
And so it's a business that they run together.
Mm-hmm. A small business.
Where is she?
Yeah, right? She's not running anything.
It doesn't sound like she's doing...
Oh, it's ours.
Yeah. He's working the late shift by himself or something?
I guess so.
Boo. Boo, we say.
Boo.
Yeah. That's our advice.
She has some work to do.
Yeah.
She has a lot of work. And then, you know... Dear Amy, this is probably your worst advice.
Yeah, this is pretty bad.
First of
advice.
All, you just insulted her husband.
Yeah.
He's gross. He's gross with his drinking.
Yeah. I mean, if they've been married for 30 years, like, they need to, I mean, if they can't have a conversation about this, then they have other problems as well.
And then just telling her right away to get into Al-Anon.
Yeah.
And hope without you got it.
Having a conversation about that as well.
Yeah.
You know, let's just, like, I found out my partner was going to... Al, I mean, what the hell's going on?
Really,
what happened? What are you doing? Something we need to talk about?
Yeah.
Are we past that?
Yeah.
Very interesting. So I have a tale from Der Campfire.
Ooh. Sorry. I meant it, but I kind of ran out of steam.
Did you? I thought you were going to introduce it and then just
peter
it out.
Tales from the Campfire is a segment wherein we tell a ghost story, a myth, folklore.
Legends and...
some overall scary stuff.
Yeah.
And we tell it here around the digital campfire.
So, gather around, everybody. I have here the legend of Spring-Heeled Jack. Now, I've been hearing about this my whole life. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you hear about urban legends and you're like, what is it? What is it?
Spring-Heeled Jack.
So, it's a paranormal entity that sightings began in the Victorian era in London. It's an evil phantom masked underneath a cloak. It has fiery eyes and flaming breath and was reported to have assaulted unsuspecting pedestrians in London. And then people have also claimed to see it in the United States.
What, they try
recently.
To bop him? You get bopped by him?
No, he's like a vampire and he can leap. That's why he's called Spring-Heeled Jack.
Oh.
So, most witnesses describe him as sinister with an aura of fright, wickedness, and he wears a black cloak. Right, so it's very vampiric already.
Mm-hmm.
A helmet. I don't know about that. I don't know what the helmet part is. It's Victorian. I don't know.
How did they didn't have helmets?
He has a red balls of fire for eyes and clawed hands.
All right.
Or he wears a metallic claws.
Maybe
like
his brain is more on the outside than the inside.
It says the helmet.
Oh, okay.
He can breathe white flames and take gigantic leaps.
The helmet is really just kind of.
They threw that in. You know, I mean, like, I was down with the cape, the finger, you know, the finger claw thing, but I don't know.
They should have said a jaunty cap.
Yes. Something Victorian. Yeah. I don't remember the Victorian era being, you know, helmets. So it says during the earliest reports during the Victorian era.
Oh, like a warrior's helmet.
But isn't that a giveaway?
Yeah.
I was thinking like one of those helmets that has like a spike on it. That's probably not what they're talking about. He has three disguises.
I was thinking a construction helmet.
A construction, like a yellow one?
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. That's what people were scared by.
Yeah. With a chin strap.
So the pith helmet. So during earliest reports, he said to have three different disguises. A ghost.
All right.
Fine. A devil. Fine. And a bear. Hard to get around with that one, but nonetheless.
A bear?
Yeah.
Guys are scared of bears. That's why.
Well, okay, so the first couple of accounts, in 1837, Mary Stevens was on her way to Lavender Hill through Clapham Common. She was attacked by a cloaked figure who leapt at her and then assaulted her and tore her clothes off.
Oh.
Right? And then fled away. So he bounded away. And that's where he gets the name Springhill Jack. It says that he was able to make his getaway by leaping over a wall that was over 9 feet high. Before he did that, he jumped in front of a coach and he scared the coachman.
Yeah, but, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
So the second one, as the victims grew in number, so this was like a hysteria in Victoria. Like, once one person reported it, everybody was reporting it. As the victims grew in number, Sir John Cowan, the Lord Mayor of London, made a public announcement. What a nightmare for public officials. He had to make a public announcement about this vampire, Springhill Jack guy. And he read a lengthy complaint from a concerned citizen that had various accounts.
It's probably a guy with a cape, you know, went around touching women, and then jumped over a puddle. And they were like, wait a minute.
It's not just women. Apparently, he liked to leap out and slap men about the face, which I find hilarious. Like, that's just, what? Like, he would just,
I love that. Some guy comes out and does that. So a guy's like, hey, this guy was a bear.
Yeah. It was a bear.
Because I wouldn't let another guy smack me in the face.
It says here, in August of 1877, at the Aldershot Barracks in North Camp Central Road, a sentry came across a strange figure who advanced toward him and slapped him several times in the face. The guy shot at him, and then to no avail, nothing happened. The figure then bounded away with a leap. And then he was seen on rooftops. And then for some bizarre reason, so this is in 1888.
Was he like Spider-Man on the roof?
Basically, yeah. He's like Spider-Man. And then in 1970, people were complaining about a red-eyed figure who was going around punching people in the face, jumping between rooftops, and walking on the sides of walls. One man in South Herefordshire, a salesman named Marshall, said in 1986, a man took gigantic leaps and then slapped him about the face. While he was in the road.
I just love that. That's like,
So men reported being slapped in the face, and the women reported being groped. Apparently, Springhill Jack comes to America in 1892. Someone said that they saw a phantom 7 to 12 feet tall, dressed in all white, with horns. Dapper.
All right.
And he was spitting fire near a jail in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn?
And this is in 1892. Okay. And then there was, another ghost. They're saying at one point he jumped at 12 o'clock. It was midnight. The ghost positioned himself on top of a stone and spurted out 12 balls of fire and then disappeared.
12 balls of fire?
Yeah.
After the first two, I'd be running.
Really? Yeah, because somebody was like, you know what? He's still going.
Yeah. It was the same kind of personality that sits there and records things with the cell phone.
Yes.
Instead of helping
Getting
hurt.
So when it comes to, the explanations are, you know, a mass hysteria, an exaggeration of the activities of an Irish nobleman named the Marquess of Waterford, who had previously had what they call bad experiences with women and cops.
Yeah.
So there's a guy running around groping women and smacking cops in the face. Paranormal propositions include a phantom, a ghost, a demon, an extraterrestrial, and then someone who's just simply from a high gravity world, which enables him to jump.
A high gravity world.
Isn't that interesting?
I like that one.
And they ask you, you know, what do you think? So the reason why I'd always thought about Springhill Jack is because you hear about it sometimes in Sherlock Holmes, but also there's a song by the Smiths that's about Springhill Jack, and I just couldn't really understand what it was. Like, you listen to the song, you hear the lyrics, I'm like, what are they talking about? It's this guy.
Why do a lot of singers, especially like the 70s and 80s, they have songs about like mythology
Jack the Ripper
and literary figures.
Yeah. So, probably
like
in
a
England,
flight of Icarus.
Everybody knew what it was. But here, you know, we didn't really talk about Springhill Jack.
Nobody talks about Springhill Jack in these parts.
Well, that's the first rule of Springhill Jack.
Nobody talks about Springhill
Jack. And that's my tale from Dark Campfire.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Very, very nice.
High gravity.
High gravity planet.
Yeah.
You're from some high gravity planet.
Man, what's up with you? We can't stay on the ground. Okay, what do you have?
They got the four R's.
Four R's. Rehearse, record, rinse, and repair.
209 West 40th Street. # Golfline NYC.
Hey, You Didn't Know It.
Oh, Hey, You Didn't Know It is a segment that we occasionally do. And it is news of the oblivious living among us, of which there are many.
All right.
So what do you have?
Starts out, this is the name of the article. Do cats like to be hugged?
I don't know. What do you think? Really? Is that the research question?
I was just like, come on. If you're anything like me, attempting to hug a cat is an exercise in futility. Mm-hmm. They pant and squirm. There's an agonizing look in their eyes.
Well, then the answer is no. We figured it out. Yeah. Boom. Next. Do they really mean hugging a cat? Cats like to be stroked and, you know.
Right. Just like stroked and pet. And a lot of cats don't. They just don't. I don't even want to be near
you. Some cats don't give an F.
I'm a cat.
Yeah, this is what I do. They like they come by, they rub on you, here I am. Nobody said to touch me.
Yeah. Fine. It just means I get fed. Yeah. And you're only getting a couple of seconds worth.
They meet it out.
So do some cats actually like to be hugged? Of course, many cats, some breeds in particular, are very affectionate. And they, just what you say, lay on laps, nuzzle. Let's see, there's a Burmese, a Ragdoll, and a La Perm cats, for example, who are known to be people cats, forming strong bonds with their two-legged families. Okay. I've never heard of anybody saying we have such a strong bond.
With a cat?
With a cat. They love their kit. People love cats.
People do look at a strong bond.
No.
I feel like it's always 75% human and then 25% cat.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's like a perfect ratio.
I feel like the cat is like, you're good for now. However,
yeah,
I'm keeping my options open.
And even if sometimes I just don't even want to be around you.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out on the
street. But I've seen cats be tolerated by children that they've... You know, every once in a while you'll see like a little boy or a little girl and they're like really handling the cat. And the cat is just miserable, but he's like, you know what? I'm just going to let it happen.
Because I live in this house.
This is how I get picked up sometimes.
My niece will pick up her cat and be like, oh, Summer. And then she picks up the cat and it's like...
It doesn't look happy at
the
all.
The claws are splayed.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, and it just kind of suffers through it.
I feel like...
She's like, I love you, Summer.
I feel like cats originated side-eye. Like, they're the first to do side-eye ever, just to be like, this bee.
And it's trying to do that relaxed, body thing where they just flop and try to squiggle
out. Don't try to fight it.
Yeah.
Don't try to fight it. Especially with kids, because it's not going to work. They're just going to squeeze tighter.
Okay. And then it goes on here to say, how can a pet owner tell if their cats like being hugged?
Okay. I don't know. Did you get scratched in the face? Because that's a no.
Well, for one thing, they don't run in the other direction.
Yeah. Is this really an article?
This is an article. If your cat tenses up and tries to get away or makes low throaty vocalizations when you hug him, he may be telling you he'd rather be left alone.
If you hear the cat go, bitch. If you don't...
And then, what's the best way to go about hugging a cat?
Oh, gingerly.
First of all, don't sneak up on the cat.
Don't ever do that. Don't ever, ever do that, ever. Don't sneak up on animals.
Don't startle or interrupt him when he's sleeping or eating.
Wait, would you want a cat to sneak up on you?
I know.
Hell no.
I don't like that.
Would you mind just being in a room by yourself, you think you see a cat, you're not sure, you look away next thing, you know, it's right in your face.
Right, and then it's petting your head.
Yeah, that's not cool. It's hugging you.
Or you're trying to eat and suddenly it's there.
It's just right there.
In your face.
Yeah.
All right. Start by petting your cat softly to see if you think he's up for a hug first.
Just approach it gingerly.
Where are we going to take this cat?
I know. That cat's probably like, okay, this is all right. This is okay.
And then be gentle. Some cats may give off a rough vibe, but they just need to be handled with care.
A rough vibe. I'm just imagining a cat.
I'm a rough vibe cat.
Just smoking the end of a Marlboro, like, really bring it.
When he found on the street.
Yeah. Someone old nasty butt.
Yeah. You should also let them come to you. Some cats prefer to be affectionate on their own terms.
Okay. Yeah. Most people like that as well.
Sit or lie.
Right. Like, I'm doing this on my own terms. You don't tell me.
Sit or lie near your cat and see if he'll come to you for a cuddle.
He might be suspicious. Like, look at this. Mm-hmm. It seems like a setup.
This might be the preferred method for cats who don't like to be picked up but still crave some attention.
Okay.
Gentle praise spoken in a soft voice can also serve as positive reinforcement for your kid. I think you're pretty.
That sounds crazy. Hello.
It's my soft voice and with praise.
But it sounds like Buffalo Bill. Like,
you're a soft kitty.
If I were a cat, I'd be like, oh, hell no, I'm about to get skinned. I heard there's several ways to do it. This is probably one.
You're like a hug for me, cat. Okay. And lastly, know when to let go.
Huh?
This hug is never going to end.
Yes. When you get scratched, it's time to let go.
A short hug may start out fine, but if your cat starts to squirm or pull away, let him go.
Yeah.
Try later when he's more relaxed.
Are these the people out there just really desperate to hug a cat?
It's like,
I've never hugged
like
a cat.
Like from Of Mice and Men. Yeah. She's like,
I've never hugged a cat before. I like cats, but I'm of the opinion that if a cat wants some affection from me, they will let me know.
Yes.
Like, they are the arbiter of that. I am not in control of that. The Hey You Know It studio just shook.
Yeah. Someone's rocking out. Somewhere.
It's like the ghost of a cat that's like, don't even try to hug me.
I heard you're talking about hugs.
Yeah.
Forget it. All right, what you got?
I have a piece of advice as well. Clever ways to answer questions in a job interview. I haven't had a job interview in a long time. It says, to ensure job interview questions don't stump you, it's good to be ready with some clever ways to answer them. I remember when I was, like, just starting to work, you had to answer the questions like, what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? Yeah. You know, like those kind of corny things. But it says, but if you come...
My strengths are like everything. My weaknesses are, I have no weaknesses.
Well, my weaknesses are I work too hard sometimes.
Yes.
Like sometimes...
I'm too thorough.
I give too much. I love too strongly.
Yeah.
So here are some ways that you can separate yourself from the other candidates. One, tell a story. When you head into
once upon a time.
Yes. Be ready.
Gather around the campfire. That's how you should do
it. You should just go in the interview and be like, welcome, Ms. Kasner. Gather around. You're about to hear something.
Open the door, call in some more people. So yeah. Gather around.
They're going to want to hear this.
This is written by
lovely lady. If I just share this with you, you're going to have to memorize it and then share it with all your colleagues. So it's so awesome. Just have everyone come in right now. So just tell a story. For example, if you're asked about management skills, provide a solid work example. Then add a clever example of how you manage time away from the office. Suppose you had a crazy weekend chauffeuring your kids back and forth, all while dealing with a recent move in a new house. Use this as an opportunity to joke about how you get all of that done. So they're asking you about your job. Be like, man, I threw a killer party last weekend, and this person came that I didn't really like, and let me tell you how I managed it. That's our story. It says,
oh, God.
Play off their interests. This is one that I do all
and
the time.
And, you know, your story would probably be, like, the same one their friend told, and they were at your party. Yes. It's like, oh, that's who that was.
Anyway. To play off your interests, whenever I've gone into job interviews, I look around the room. I see, you know, see what the person's interested in. And then I try to get them to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just sit back. Because people really just want to talk about themselves.
Right.
And they're going to have to hire somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It might as well be the person who was a good listener.
That's right.
And that's me. Give quantitative examples. So it says, give a clever and perhaps unexpected answer to an interview question. It sounds like make shit up,
mm-hmm.
is what they're saying here. Be equipped with some numeric examples of the work you've accomplished. For example, if you're asked about your organizational skills, use an example of how many clients you were able to juggle at the same time. Numerical be like, I have 5.8% like of my clients, blah, 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 blah. Putting a number to your success is better than simply saying you're a success.
Oh, then you've
got to have a percentage.
What? You've got to have that so firm in mm-hmm. your mind because you can't, you know, suddenly start making up numbers.
Or you can. Oh. Depending on what it is. And this is my favorite one, which is why I pulled this article. It says, use a prop. I started thinking Carrot Top right away.
Oh,
I started
no.
thinking, like, what is in this interview room?
No.
Put together a portfolio of your successes as a clever way to answer interview questions. I have a PowerPoint here.
Oh, no.
When the interview asks you to talk about duties performed, open your portfolio and show examples. The visual is a clever way to back up. For example, if you were in charge of a project management at a publishing company, show an example of a work order you processed.
Oh, no. No. No, never do that. Sorry.
Can you imagine? Bring out a work order.
This is a work order.
When they say bring a prop, I'm like what? Like a banana?
This is a bill of materials.
Yes.
For.
I was thinking something fun you could play with.
I am, right? Like a tambourine?
Yeah, or like a funny hat.
Yeah.
Like when you go to have your pictures, you know, when you have that photo booth,
mm-hmm.
and they have like a, you know, sunglasses.
Yeah, it's like a very Carrot Top.
Maracas. Yeah, I think bring a bag
interview.
Of tricks with you
yeah.
and just work from the room.
Yeah, right.
Just keep pulling things out until you get the job or you get kicked out.
Yeah.
You have a prop.
Wow, a prop.
Prop interviewer. This is, I always bring this in. I bring a small stuffed toy in, and I work with this.
Yeah.
Gotten every
bring
job
a puppet and answer only through the puppet.
Bring a puppet. Bring one of Lauren Maul's puppets.
Right, right.
Either a vagina puppet or a puppet of Miles Standish.
Yeah.
From the trials.
Yeah.
And that'll get you a job anytime.
Yeah, it will work like gangbusters.
What do you have?
All right. I have this article. It's about animals.
Oh, okay. Is it Barnyard News?
It's Barnyard News.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, so snakes infest house in Maryland.
I'm from Maryland, people.
Yes. So that's so I saw this
I
want to
know
like,
where in Maryland yeah. is it? Western Maryland? Because if it was, I'm not surprised.
Everything seemed normal when the Brooks family moved into their dream home.
Are you serious?
Yeah, is that funny?
Sorry, Brooks is my maiden name for those of you who may not know.
For those of you who want access to your bank account.
Yes.
So you're from Maryland. Your name is Ms. family Brooks, name yeah. is Brooks.
That was 3 or 4 names ago.
Yeah. The Brooks family moved into their dream home near Annapolis, Maryland last December.
Okay.
Yeah. That is until spring came and the snakes arrived.
In Annapolis?
Mm-hmm.
Annapolis is a beautiful place.
Yeah. Snake skins and droppings became commonplace in the house, as did actual black rat snakes, which ranged from small hatchlings to full-grown 7-footers.
I didn't even know we had snakes like that in Maryland.
Yeah. By April, the family had evacuated the premises and filed a $2 million lawsuit against the real estate agent.
Why?
Okay,
it's coming up.
The good news for the homeowners is such a snake infestation are really unusual. It's not something most people would ever expect or fear.
Maryland has, like, nothing poisonous, nothing dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up in a very rural area, and I'm pretty well-versed in, like, the natural environment mm-hmm. around Maryland. I know where Annapolis is. I've spent a lot of time there. This is bizarre.
Yeah. For some reason, the non-venomous reptiles settled into this house. It made it a congregation point, and
it's like Snake Junction.
Yeah. Come on, snakes! Yeah. We're going to move out of Georgia.
Yeah, I can't believe this place.
Yeah, yeah. So that's just like another stop.
There's only like 4 people in it.
Yeah. So they thought they were maybe denning for the winter.
Wow. Yeah.
Snakes.
And snakes don't care.
Yeah. If their body temperature fluctuates with their environments, when it's cold, the serpents find a cozy place to curl up and wait it out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so if they find a nice warm house.
Wow,
sure.
Maybe they freeze them out.
Yeah. God. Then they were talking about, like, in Idaho, garter snakes were crawling through the cracks in a house foundation, causing...
Wow. Yes. So is this, I really was ignorant of the fact that snakes did something like this. Like
yeah.
a snake den is like a den of snakes is
it's
a real
a den
thing.
Of snakes,
it's
yeah.
not just a bunch of women.
Yeah.
Or catty.
Yeah. Or a pit of vipers. That's
yeah.
what we like to,
wow.
we like to be referred as.
Yes.
Jaquetta.
Yes. A pit
place.
Of vipers.
Den of snakes. Pit of vipers. The rat snakes are generally shy around people.
How so?
Oh, they don't like to.
They cover their mouth when they when
they
hiss.
Chew.
Right? Oh. Really? I mean.
Stepped on that, sorry.
Yeah.
So their prey can. They're shy around people, but their prey can draw them close to people.
Mm-hmm.
So
I mean, I guess if you're sitting next to a bunch of juicy rats, sure.
Yeah.
You know, now I can see why a snake might come over.
Yeah, so...
That's so very un-Maryland.
They like farms, barnyards, and even neighborhoods, and they climb really well.
Okay.
And that's how they end the article saying that. So it's like, hey, that's kind of foreboding. That's
dun,
kind
dun,
of
dun.
Warning. But, yeah, if, I mean... If
why were they able to sue? Like, are they saying that the real estate agent... You know, real estate agent is like, don't look over there. Forget about that. Just a few snakes. That happens.
Right, but...
You're going to get snakes.
If there were skins and droppings...
And the people didn't see them? When they did the... Because you know, when you go to view a property,
mm-hmm.
and then before you do, like, a walkthrough...
Yeah, people go and they... Either the realtor sometimes... If
yeah.
It's,
or an inspector. You might have an inspector
right.
come in.
Right.
So, was the realtor just, like, casually with her foot, like...
Kicking
moving
snakes,
snakes to the side. Like, no, that's nothing. I thought I heard some hissing. No.
It opens up a door. Oh, this is going into the master bedroom. And it's like the scene from Indiana Jones. She's like, ah!
Oh, don't worry about that.
Don't worry about that. No, shut the door.
Or is the realtor just like, you know, accentuating S's to try to cover it up all the time? Like this. No, that's just me.
Sunroom.
Yes. Look at these stairs. So bizarre. I can't even imagine.
The selling price.
So
is so low. Well,
why couldn't they just have somebody come and get rid of the snakes? Why did they get rid of the whole house?
Because maybe they freaked out. Or it's just like, how can you be sure to get every snake out?
True. I've never even seen one snake in a house before.
I saw a snake in my house once.
Where was it? In
it
a basement
crawled,
or something?
No, it crawled in through the... We have this porch, a closed-in porch.
Okay.
That
like with screens or whatever?
It actually had a wood... base.
Okay.
And then we had the windows had screens on them, but you couldn't, there were no other doors to the outside. You
okay.
could just sit there and enjoy the weather.
Oh, so it was like an enclosed
porch. Yeah.
Porch, okay.
And yeah, it was part of the house. Like you can, it wasn't heated or anything. Mm-hmm. I don't think. But there was a mouse hole in the corner that nobody knew about because we didn't really go out there.
Okay.
And it went, the mouse, you know, drilled this hole all the way through to the outside. And that's how mice were getting in and out, and a snake came in.
Wow. And did you saw it come in?
Yeah. Well, I didn't see it come in. It was just in there.
Because that's bold.
Yeah.
That's a bold move if you're just sitting there enjoying yourself and you just see a snake casually come in.
I mean, if there probably was not another family in that house when it was sold.
Yeah, I'm guessing
so it was like
empty.
An empty house, and the realtor should have.
But that's, I'm telling you, like, just from knowing that area, that is such a bizarre infestation. Like, I've never heard of a bunch of snakes in Maryland before.
Yeah.
Like, outside of the capital, it's, like, outside of the politicians in Annapolis. That's the only, that's weird.
Yeah.
Huh. Who knew?
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
Let's just get it over with.
Yeah.
Let's get
there was there. Talk. They wanted, a lot of people want Idris Elba to do.
Yeah.
And the writer said that he was too street. I don't know if you heard about that. And I'm like, in my mind, he is the epitome of sophistication.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he is so sophisticated and regal. What do you think? He'd be an excellent James Bond.
Yeah.
It's not like they were like Wesley Snipes. You know what I'm saying? Like, no disrespect to Wesley Snipes, but come on.
Right.
When you think about a debonair gentleman.
Yeah. Exactly.
Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Who doesn't think of him as suave?
I've seen him
play.
I'm on the suave train.
I'm on the suave train.
You know.
I'm in the second car. I'm business class. I've seen him play characters that weren't suave, and it's still suave.
Yeah,
sorry.
Well, he can't shake it.
He just can't bring, like, I've seen him try to do, like, a low-class mm-hmm. British accents. I'm like, mm-hmm. Not working.
Yeah.
Yeah, governor? No, it's not working. You're always going to be suave. Sorry.
You're always going to be classy, sir.
Yeah.